The NFL draft, it is only about 10 days away, and the Giants and Jets, both with top 10 picks, the Giants, of course, drafting number 3 overall. And to talk about the draft, to break it down, we bring in draft expert Matt Minocarian from Sports Info Solutions. He is a former scout from the Saints and the Browns. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Haksameh, Flory. What's going on?
Haksameh, back at ya. Zisun Pesach. So, what's going on? Look, we've been counting down the days and waiting and waiting, and the Giants, all the intrigue and the smoke and mirrors and lying season, the Giants have the number 3 overall pick, and I guess we'll start with, do you think Shedeur Sanders is worth taking at number 3 overall?
Oh, that's like the $1,000 question. I will say every Giants fan I know expects Cam Ward to go number 1.
Yes.
And if Shedeur is, if Travis Hunter's available at number 3, it seems that they want him, and I agree with that. To me, that's the answer to your question. If Travis Hunter's there, I'm taking Travis Hunter at pick number 1, pick number 5, pick number 100. You can't go wrong with him. So I would take him over Shedeur 100 times out of 100. To me, the better question is if it's Carter against Sanders, mm-hmm. which way do you go there, assuming those are kind of the top contenders?
Yep.
For me, it really just comes back to the question of how do you feel about this player? And there's so much beyond Sanders' film that you have to consider when you're talking about making this the CEO of your football team that I think I'm comfortable with him as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm comfortable with all that stuff. He's not an elite athlete. He doesn't have great size, but he gets the ball where it needs to be. He's very accurate. Can be more of a Tua, Teddy Bridgewater type quarterback than one of these elite monster types. But if that can run my team, if I can get a Drew Brees type, I'm good with that every day of the week. So to me, the question there is more, okay, what are we signing up for if we're signing up for Shedeur Sanders? And I mean that in every Deion sense of the word. I mean that in every New York media market sense of the word. All of that stuff, because that's real, and that's what you're talking about when you're talking about the leader of your franchise.
Yeah, look, New York is challenging because you don't know when it's a Sam Darnold or a Daniel Jones or a Justin Wilson or whoever it is, like you don't know who can handle, you know, some of those players handle New York well, some of them don't. And, you know, Shedeur has that flashier personality and raised by Deion Sanders. You know, so you're right. You have to make that calculation, but you wonder if being in the spotlight with the famous father would at least alleviate the deer in the headlights of handling the media.
Oh, there's none of that with Shedeur Sanders. When you watch him on the film, one of the things that jumps out is that this is a field general. This is somebody with obvious leadership ability, does not panic at all. Like maybe to a fault, will hold on to the ball too long, because he thinks he can superhero his way out of things. So the question's not that at all, and I agree with you. There's probably a better chance that he's elite in his ability to handle everything that comes along with being an NFL quarterback than that he somehow lacks. And, like, this isn't going to be the Johnny Manziel path here. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
And every bit of what you fall in love with on the film, so here's my experience watching him. I turned it on and I said, okay, I'm going to watch Deion Sanders' son play quarterback. This is going to be awesome. And I watched it and I said, this isn't a special athlete at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can get away from you a little bit, keep the play alive, but not a big arm, not a big person, not somebody who's running away from NFL defenders. He's not a designed run threat, anything like that. But then you get past that stuff and you start to see the command he has of the offense, the way that he rallies his team, the way that he understands how to get the ball to players, and players are more important than plays, and how he can distribute the ball accurately and on time in those situations. When he's doing all that stuff, that's when he's great. It's the superhero mode stuff that I just don't think he's a Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen athlete. at the end of the day to be doing that stuff. So it's sort of a funny type of prospect to wrap your brain around.
What, when you evaluate the quarterback position, and I understand with the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, now Jaden Daniels, the position has evolved and our expectations in many ways. You mentioned Drew Brees, but you know, there's Brock Purdy, there's Jared Goff, there's others that play it differently. When you evaluate, you know, you were a former scout, when you evaluate the quarterback position, what are the most important characteristics for success that you are looking for?
I'm never going to let go of accuracy. And I was wrong on Josh Allen because I didn't think he could sort of learn how to be more accurate in certain situations. But at the end of the day, accuracy, the ability that I'm sitting here, you're standing there, and I'm going to get the ball to where you are and where the ball needs to be placed to get it to you there. There's nothing going to be that's more important physically than that. Certainly the decision-making, the mental, being able to process things and get the ball out on time, that goes hand-in-hand right there. Yeah, there's a requisite kind of arm strength, and there's a requisite stature that you look for, but if somebody's okay in those regards at the end of the day. Yeah, I came up around Drew Brees, so that's why he's a sort of prescient example for me there. I can handle that, but I need this person to be the CEO of the football team. This is somebody who, at the end of the day, it's the head coach and it's the quarterback that are going to have all eyes on them, and no matter how good a coach you are, no matter how good a general manager you are, unless you have that peer leadership coming from the locker room and coming from your leadership positions, which in this sport, it's quarterback. That's the way it is. Those are the things that I can't live without. So the accuracy, the sort of decision-making, mental, and the ability to be the person that I trust with my franchise. Those three things.
When we get beyond Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, some of these other quarterbacks, let's say the Giants do get lucky enough, the Browns for some reason, whether they take Shedeur or Abdul Carter, the Giants do end up with Travis Hunter, and now they've got to go find a quarterback later. Or you're the Jets and you decide at some point you want to draft a quarterback. Beyond Shedeur and Cam Ward, who do you like? Which other quarterbacks in this draft do you like and that you might be interested in, whether that's, you know, Jaxon Dart, Jalen Milroe, you know, there's plenty of others, Quinn Ewers, Will Howard, McCord, you know, a number of others. Where do you stand on some, Shuck, you know, where do you stand on some of these other quarterbacks? Who do you like?
Yeah, it's pretty nice if you kind of take a deep breath as a Giant fan and think about Malik Nabers and Travis Hunter on the same team together. that's a pretty exciting thought. But moving beyond that, it's sort of an easy answer for me, and it's Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe has been such an interesting prospect throughout his career. We've all watched him over the years because he's been at Alabama, and I don't think there's anybody after these first two guys that I really think is more likely than not to become a plus NFL starter. But there were enough games where I saw Milroe as the best athlete on the field at Alabama playing against SEC teams, where if you could squint and see Jalen Hurts on Alabama and what he became, this is somebody who doesn't have that stature but has all of that athleticism and then some. And he has that sort of rare ability to, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he has those flashes where he jumps out and it's amazing kind of what his upside could be. So I'm not ready to bet on him as a top player overall. There's some stats that we have that he lags behind on, his snap to throw time, being one of them, his on target percentage, kind of below average for what we look at for these guys coming out of college. But he has enough of that other stuff to go with it that when you talk about somebody outside of the first round, I'm not interested in the first round. But on day two, this is a player that I can really see some coaches wanting to get their hands on because he's an interesting piece of clay.
Talking to Matt Manikarian from Sports Info Solutions, former scout, and So Giants at one, in a perfect world, it's Travis Hunter. If not, it Shedeur Sanders potentially there. And then, you know, if it is Hunter, you know, maybe you're coming back in the second round and picking up a Milroe. For the Jets, number 7 overall, and if you were the Jets or you were advising their new general manager, what are some options? What would be ideal for you for the Jets at 7?
So if I'm the Jets at 7, I'm looking at things purely based on value. I want to get the best football player that I have. So if I'm in the Jets draft room, and I'm sure this is one of the exercises that they've done, you try to look at, okay, if we have our choices 1 through 7, who are we going to take? And make sure you're really comfortable with that sort of, Sean Payton used to call it the cloud of players that you could get in that range, right? If you're picking at 7, you're the Jets, you can sort of assume right off the bat that Ward's going to be gone, that Carter's going to be gone, that Hunter's going to be gone, let's say.
Yep.
And so now you're looking at, okay, who are the 4 people that are left in your cloud to get to 7? And you might say a Graham from Michigan. You might say a Campbell, the tackle from LSU. Warren, the tight end from Penn State, certainly in that conversation. Yep. And then for me, Shedeur Sanders would be that other guy there that would become awfully interesting. Now, for all the things we were saying before about Shedeur on the Giants and him being able to handle it, I'm not betting on anybody's ability to handle Woody Johnson and become a successful NFL quarterback in that organization. All that said, I think if you're looking at it, those are the players that I would circle in my mind, and I would say, hey, we need to get better as football players. These are the best chances at high-level starters that we have at some key positions on the football field. Let's look at these players first. Other players you could throw around, but I think I really always want to avoid getting into the need-based conversation, especially to the Jets. You've got needs.
Yep. You mentioned Will Campbell potentially as – so is he your top-rated offensive lineman? And if so, there's always the conversation at the combine that are his arms a little too short and people start to get critical there. Where do you stand on things like slightly shorter arms for successful tackles?
I say he was a pretty good college tackle with short arms. You look into some of our advanced analytics on him, you know, second in total points per game amongst the draftable offensive tackles, did a pretty good job in terms of when he was run behind, only 23% of the time did the run get bounced outside of his gap. So he was a pretty accountable run defender there. Good in the run, good in the pass, especially good in the pass, we would say. So, it's something you're concerned about. Maybe it limits the upside a little bit. This isn't a Tyrannosaurus Rex. We're talking about 32 5/8 inch arms when we would say usually our qualification is 33 inches, and 34 inches is really good. So I think he's a broad guy. I think he's a good athlete. He's a heck of a technician, really good play strength. At the end of the day, after you get past Travis Hunter, I don't really think there's anybody in this draft that I'm screaming blue chip, run the card in for.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in that next tier of players, which he'll go in the first round. He'll go in the top 10, probably top 5, but really you would normally say this is kind of like a mid-first round type talent, quote unquote, mid to high first round type talent. So that's real. It's something you got to consider. But as we get more and more information in how to evaluate these players, how they're playing on the field, how their physical traits project, we can learn things about players that make us feel a lot more comfortable with 32 5/8 inch arms than the talking heads all want us to hear.
Who's a player in, you know, once we get out of the first round, who's a player that if I said to you, this is one of your, you know, kind of pound your fist on the desk guys, like if you were in meeting, you are now back to being a scout and you're meeting with your GM and they're setting the board. Who in this draft would you want your team to come away with?
It's always a tough question for me because I'm so out of touch with who's going to go where in the draft at this point, and I'm more kind of just trying to look at the players. And, you know, if you look at it, and listeners too, you can go to sportsinfosolutions.com and sort of see our draft board. We have it up there like an NFL team would have it, where by position you can see kind of how the stacks are. And certainly there are places where we diverge from what other people would say. So I don't know if there's something that comes to mind for me in terms of a lower ranked player that I want to write home about. I'm trying to think if I can give you somebody that's sort of interesting as far as that goes. I honestly don't know enough about who people don't like to tell you who I do like.
All right. How about philosophically, I think what I've heard, you know, everybody talks about with this draft, that some of the strengths of this draft, the depth at running back and defensive tackle. Do you look at that then and say every team should, you know, so where would you be going to, you know, for both of those positions? Is it the kind of thing you'd go early and grab somebody, or because of that depth, you'd be looking and saying, all right, there's a talented player I could be getting in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round?
That's a great question, because to me, it couldn't be more divergent when you look at these two positions. They both have great depth, but they both have different kinds of great depth. So at defensive tackle, I'd say you go at least 10 deep with players that you could draft in the first two, maybe two and a half rounds, and you're getting great players that you can be really happy with, you know, from all the way at the top with Mason Graham being an every down starter from day one. Just picture the dude that's coming in there. He's active. Yeah, he's not been the most productive sack guy, but he's done so much. But I mean, you go down the board and you start looking around, and even for the guys that are going to come in and be more third down specialists, or maybe they're first and second down run down players, the defensive tackles you're going to get, I think there's at least 10 guys that you're really happy to get on day one or day two. Whereas running back, there's the top end guys. Everybody knows about Ashton Jeanty and awesome prospect. Maybe not as great the third round value as I'd be so excited about him in the top 10, but he's awesome. And we've got the same grade level on Marion Hampton from North Carolina that we've got on him, another really fun player to watch. But after you get past those guys and you get past Trevion Henderson from Ohio State, I think it sort of starts to thin out a little bit more until you get to sort of the glut of players where everybody's going to find somebody that they like on the third day. If you can stay patient, and this happens almost every year, but if you can stay patient in terms of getting one of these running backs, there'll be guys that you've got a third round, fourth round type grade on. We don't do our grades based on rounds. We do it based on what type of role they can play for our football team. But we all know running backs are mostly a rotational position in the NFL now. If you're not getting your Josh Jacobs type player that's going to be your every down guy, the depth of the running backs is going to be depth that goes beyond day two, like we're talking about with defensive tackles. And this is, the longer you can kind of hold out, you can pick up somebody in the seventh round that you might have thought was going to go in the fourth round and find somebody that can contribute to your team for the next 4 years.
All right, interesting stuff. Matt, really, really appreciate the time. Sports Info Solutions, that's where you can find all the data that Matt's talking about, and really appreciate it. We'll follow you on social and catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Thank you.